and welcome to Pop a la Carte. I'm Tatiana, and I'm here with
Angela.
Yay! And sadly, we are all alone this week because Valerie is at New York Comic Con. But we are going to take advantage of that to do an almost all K-drama episode. So we will take you through our recent K-drama past with old quote-unquote shows that we're watching or just watched. And then I will tell you about some of the shows that premiered this week, because I watched at least the first episode of four of them. And then we will discuss upcoming dramas that Angela wants to see and ones that I do or don't want to see. All right. I did not say that we're going to start with a DC Universe update, because that's going to happen first. So we're getting into that, plus a couple of other little news items like Narnia and whatnot. So let us begin with DC Universe. You asked your brother what's up with that, and what did you learn?
Yes, he has it. And he got it, it sounds like, pretty exclusively for the next season of Young Justice, mm-hmm. which is not up yet. The first question I asked him was, like, what do you get for your money?
Mm-hmm.
And he said a pretty decent backlog of DC comics. Obviously not, you know, the entire library, because that would just be, like, insane.
Right. But then you wouldn't ever need to buy comics again.
Yeah, like, I guess some of the, like, a lot of the classics or a lot of, like, well-reviewed recent ones and, you know, like, a decent number. And he said he does have a slight, because you have to view it in your browser.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there is it. My brother's, like, in the process of needing to get a new computer.
Okay.
So I don't know. Can't download it. I didn't think to ask that at the time.
I guess that makes sense. Like, Comixology does that, too. You have to read it online.
Yeah, so he has some problems reading it, but he says that might be his laptop, so there's that. And then he's a lot of the DC animated shows and a lot of the DC animated movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like not the Justice League cartoon yet, but like the classic Batman and Superman 90s cartoons that like he and I grew up watching.
Oh, cool.
So that's on there. He's a lot of live action DC. So mm-hmm. like Linda Carter's Wonder Woman is there. The 90s Flash is there.
What about Lois and Clark? Okay, Lois and Clark is on there. Okay.
That's what he said, mm-hmm. but I don't know, like, I don't think he really knows what the Lois and Clark is.
Right.
So, like, I would maybe, like, Google that to, like, verify before, like, don't sign up for that. Because I know, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh my god, like, I spent, like, so many summers watching that show.
Yeah.
I was like, that might, this is the first thing it's time to do.
The tipping point!
but not Smallville, because, like, I want to go rewatch Smallville, but, like, I can't seem to find it anywhere.
Oh, Smallville's not on there?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Because it's CW, maybe not, like...
Oh, I guess that makes sense, because I'm sure the new CW shows aren't on there either.
Yeah.
Or the rudity. No. The disrespect.
I know, it's disrespect. So, but I'm trying to think what else he said. He's like Titans, but he is not interested in Titans at all. He was like, I plan to ignore Titans when it premieres.
Which,
like I said, it premiered now, but this was like Saturday when I saw him, so that's when we talked about it.
I see, I got you. Did the episode actually premiere already? Did I totally miss that?
I'm not paying attention. You just mentioned that the reviews are out.
Oh, I know they had like a premiere, but like I don't think it was, you know what I'm saying? Like they went there and people saw the first two episodes, but I don't think it's actually been dropped. It hasn't dropped yet. There we go.
Yes. When he says what exists up until now of Teen Titans or of Young Justice is on there.
Okay.
And the anime Teen Titans is on there as well.
Okay. That's cool.
So if you're like a DC like mega fan, it seems like it could be worth it, especially for like the comics. Like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, like if you, yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. I agree with you.
I think you said some of the old Superman movies might be on there too.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So,
yeah, so that's your update because we were wondering that in a podcast previously. Like, what is even on DC Universe? Well, now
yes.
you know.
Yes, so, now you can make an informed decision about purchasing it or not.
Yep.
Speaking of which, Titans, the reviews, you know, there are some reviews out, and there's been more trailers out. So even though I would say the special effects still look kind of garbagey, and I feel like I've heard that, like, Starfire and Beast Boy, for example, aren't even in the second episode, which is like, okay, thanks for that. But some reviewers are saying, like, it's much better than they thought, and that Starfire is a standout, which is, that's what I wanted to hear. So that makes me happy. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So if you were really worried about Titans, I guess you can maybe be slightly less worried now. we'll see. It probably will not be a disgrace. And it's been renewed already for season two, so they must not think it is a garbage dumpster fire.
I'm trying to browse DC Universe's website to answer some of the questions we just had. And it says, Tim Burton's Batman, the original Superman movie. But I was just complaining that, like, Netflix and Hulu and, like, other ones will let you, like, browse. Mm-hmm. And it's just that if you try to watch something, you need to have a membership. It's annoying that DC Universe won't let you do that. Because yeah. What if Smallville and Lois and Clark would be what I would decide I would sign up for, you know?
Yeah.
And if I can't verify that that's, like, let me go in and see everything I can get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't expect me to buy it only knowing the highlights that you've chosen to, like, advertise on your slideshow. So.
You speak the truth.
Questions remain unanswered.
Yeah, we can move on to other new things that are coming to streaming services.
Do you want to do Sabrina or Narnia? I guess we should do Narnia first since we don't have any, like, reaction, like...
Yes.
We didn't mature.
So Narnia exists.
Netflix announced that it has gotten the rights to all of Narnia.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a Silverchair movie supposedly in development for ages, but that is probably not happening now.
Oh, yeah. So it's going to be...
Netflix has all the rights. And I will say that I don't know... I feel like the first recent Narnia movie,
mm-hmm.
like the one that came out in like 2005, like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that's pretty good. Like, I don't know... It'd be interesting to see somebody try to do it differently, but I don't think that that needs to be redone.
Right.
But the other Narnia movies they made...
were not good.
Subsequent in that universe were trash.
Yeah.
So it could definitely be interesting to see it. It does seem like Netflix... I mean, I just remember hearing rumors that, like, they were on, the bubble, like, budget-wise.
Yeah, that's what I had heard, too. But they keep putting out more stuff.
Not only more stuff, because John was like, you know, he's the, like math person. He's like, you spend money to make money. Like, they just have to, like... give people reason to keep getting memberships or something. Yeah. I was like, is there anyone left that doesn't have Netflix, though? Like,
right.
Do they get more revenue? Like, if everybody in America already has a Netflix account, like, how do they continue
to make money? They would have to just ask people to, like, re-up their account with more money.
Because fantasies are expensive.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're going around canceling shows like Get Down and Sense8, which, yes, were expensive, especially Sense8 with the filming mm-hmm. everywhere. But still, fantasy is also expensive because it's special effects.
Yeah.
So, I don't really know.
It doesn't make sense to me either. Yeah.
I'm, like, wondering how they're gonna break even and if we're really gonna get 8 Narnia movies or whatever. I'm curious to see someone attempt to tackle the last Narnia book, which is The Last Battle, because that is what Horse and His Boy is the racist one.
Oh, yeah.
And The Last Battle is the, like, I mean, all of them are, like, Christian allegory, but, like, Last Battle is, like, the clearest.
Yeah, yeah.
Although it's probably not as clear to people who were not raised with Christian theology.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's, like, the very blatant one, so I've always been a little curious to see how somebody would do that.
Yeah, same
and
here.
And they're doing a spinoff series, Redeeming Susan, and giving a giant middle finger to C.S. Lewis for his treatment of Susan, so mm-hmm. maybe Netflix will do that. So, hire me now. I will write that.
Perfect.
So, that's what I've got to say about Narnia.
Well, there we go. Yeah, I haven't, like, I read the Narnia books when I was little, and I did see, like, I think I saw all of the Narnia movies that came out. And plus, there was movies that came out, like, a billion years ago that were just, like, straight adaptations of the books. They're, like, I don't know where those movies came out from. You know what I'm talking about?
There was a BBC series in the 80s.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. So I saw that. Saw that, and of course I read the books. But, like, wasn't formative experience for me, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
And the BBC series was, like, adults in badger costumes.
Yeah, yes. Yes, it was. Bless them. But, yes. So just for that alone, I would be interested to see what a whole, like, what a full adaptation of, like, the whole Narnia books looks like. Now,
yeah,
in our time.
Nephew would be really cool,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I don't have any, like, personal feelings about it at the moment. Other than I hope that Ben Barnes does not play Prince Caspian again. That would be all. Not that I have anything against Ben Barnes, but his Prince Caspian was weird.
He had his chance. He got to play it, like, twice. He's fine.
Yes. He'll be okay. All right. What else? Do we have any other, Oh, right, Sabrina.
Yes.
Yes. Send me your feels. Vocally.
Literally. Well, actually, the second trailer has me more open. Mm-hmm. I was, like, totally closed off with the first one because it just looked straight horror, and that's just not where I live.
Right.
And this one looks not just straight horror, and it looked a little quirky, and, like, it had any sense of humor at all, which I'm a fan of. Mm-hmm. And you hit me in the right it's fall place, and I might sit through some horror. Like, mild. So, and I'm really curious now, like, if it is, she mentioned that it's Greendale.
Uh-huh.
No, not Greendale. Is it Greendale?
I'm pretty sure it is Greendale, yeah. Riverdale and Greendale's across the way or whatever.
Okay, Greendale confused me because that's community.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, wait.
Understandable.
Okay, no, so it being a different town is better, because then I was like, does that mean that like, there's like an adult Sabrina running around somewhere during Riverdale? And I got briefly distracted by that, given that I've never watched Riverdale ever, but still.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it made me a little bit more open. It's going to depend. I liked the one guy in the trailer who was like kind of flirty with Sabrina, not Harvey. I liked him too. He seemed earnest and sweet.
Okay. Okay.
But the one like guy who was like, I've never something a witch like you or whatever. And he was just cute. And I was like, maybe. But to me, the proportion of like scary horror things, not that that's necessarily a criticism.
Right.
But like personally, I'm probably going to have to wait and see some reviews and make Jessica, who writes for our site, tell me how scary it is. And if I can handle it. So.
Yeah, I will tell you, because I'm definitely going to watch it. And I feel like they're trying to make it look more, like, atmospheric scary than it really will be, I feel. But, again, I don't know. I have actually no idea if it will be or not. But I just feel like it's going to be it's got to be less. I don't know. I imagine it's going to be less dark than Riverdale. And even Riverdale Season 1 was not that dark. Riverdale Season 2 was just garbage. But Riverdale Season 1 was mostly not that dark.
I mean, do you think Netflix would be allowed to go darker than the CW?
They'd be allowed to go darker. I just don't think that, like, creatively they necessarily want to. Like, I don't know. I feel like Sabrina, like, because we just talked about, like, we were talking before, like, the spirit of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, you know?
Yeah.
It's not really like, oh, horror times. Being a witch is so awful. It's not really what you want to take away from that. So.
I mean, is the spirit of Archie that dark?
No.
Too?
But that's why Riverdale sucks. So I would hope that Archie would.
Hopefully they learn.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what, I don't know why I feel this way. I just feel like hopefully that will happen. Maybe it's because I'm just imagining, I don't know. I'm just imagining the Sally Draper from Mad Men. And I'm like, they wouldn't put her through too much. Even though I know she's not Sally Draper from Mad Men anymore.
And I liked the bit where the, like, old white dude was like, you have to choose. And she's like, I'm not gonna. And I was like, yeah.
You tell her. Feminism. But yes. All right. Any other feelings or news items?
Nope.
All right. Let's head on into K-Drama Town then. So. Yes. So first, even though Angela was going to watch this on her own anyway, I like have not stopped talking about Gangnam Beauty to like anyone who will listen for as long as it was on air and then continuing to now. So you have seen all of that now because you are amazing at watching things.
Yep.
And then in return, I have seen 5 episodes of You're Beautiful. But they were very enjoyable. So who would like to talk first? What would you like to talk about first?
Let's start with Gangnam Beauty.
Okay.
Since that's more recent. And since I don't know where to start with Gangnam Beauty, I'm going to do another follow-up from previous podcast where you were asking us about the diet pill product placement.
Okay, yes.
And having seen all of it in its entirety now, I agree that it's slightly weird, but it's not that weird because it's not like it was immediate logical progression. Like, she has diet pills. Like, it's not like they show her taking the diet pill in the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
Although, actually, no. So the first time you saw the diet pill and she just took it at home and that was that. And
yeah.
That was, like, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was, like, later, I think the second time you see the diet pill, like, a scene or two later is when she's, like, throwing up in the bathroom.
Yes.
I think it just felt to me more like she is very focused and concerned on her weight and these are all the things that she's doing.
Yes.
But the bulimia was bad, but the diet pill wasn't necessarily, like,
that bad. It just, like, the diet pill was just, like, so she is concerned about her weight, even though she pretends, like, her concern is the opposite.
Like, yeah, like, that's kind of what it felt to me. Like,
yeah.
If you saw her, like, dieting healthily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or exercising, not over-exercising, but exercising a healthy amount.
Yeah.
And also being bulimic, you wouldn't be like, well, the exercising is bad.
Right.
I mean, that's debatable with diet pills, obviously, but like,
yeah. Right. I mean,
like that's sort of how the show did it.
So I guess it's like not offensive to the diet pill company. That's great. But but it was like weird that they had it at all in a show that's about not doing that. So like obviously there are people that do it, you know? Just like Hyung Jung and her drink, like, right?
About how diet pills are unlike not something that you should be worried about doing, and we'll pay you to feature our diet pills.
Yes. And same with the drink that Hyun Jung was talking about for weight loss. I don't know what that drink was. But I was like, this is actually a conversation that I have had with my friends. So like this is a realistic scene that's happening right now, but I feel like you want me to buy this drink.
I don't know. I thought in my head I convinced myself that maybe it was just supposed to be like a power protein.
Well, it might be. I have no idea what it is. It might not be a weight loss drink. It might just be like Powerade or whatever. I don't know.
That's what I assume.
Maybe it's like an electrolyte drink. Whatever. I feel
a
like
a lot of weird product placement like that. Like that Miki 1006 Taiwanese drama that I was obsessed
yes,
with.
Yes.
She has this like amino acid something pill. It's like a, it's supposed to be like a health pill.
Uh-huh.
It's like vitamins or amino acids or something. And like he buys it. It's introduced into the show in a way that makes more sense because like he finds out that like she's gonna die, but he doesn't know how yet.
Oh, okay.
So like buys it for her to like oh my like no because I think originally written on her death certificate is heart attack.
Okay.
And she's like 30, and he's like oh god like. Gives her all the health supplements, right?
Okay, right.
And later they find out, like, she was injected with something that gave her the heart attack, yada, yada, yada. But then, like, later, like, she's still taking it every night. They make a point to show it. And then even, like, in the scene where they finally, like, the correct timelines of each other finally mm-hmm. get together and they're going to go to the bedroom, he's, like, carrying her and she makes him stop to take her pill.
Oh, my God. All right. So that's, yeah, that's, so then you're like, okay, thank you. I will buy it. Leave me alone. But...
He doesn't want, but then, and then it bothered me because, like, he doesn't want her to stop, and she's like, I have to take this so that I, like, stay beautiful.
What? Okay.
Like, and don't get wrinkles. And yeah. I was like, oh, God. And that's when he finally, like, it is like, fine, we'll stop. And I was like, I want to rewrite this scene.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's a little.
This scene is so bad.
That also, is, that's a little weird.
How does a pill, like, what is this magic pill supposed to do? Because he got it for you so you wouldn't have a heart attack, but now you're talking about your wrinkles.
Right. Like. It's just a youth. It's just the fountain of youth in a pill, I guess.
So, sorry, huge tangent, but yeah, I would just say the diet pill thing. I think is just list of things that show that she is actually concerned about her weight.
Right, right. I agree with that.
So, how do you want to direct the Gangnam Beauty?
Oh God, I don't know. I mean, like, I guess like. Well, first, you at one point said that you were watching for the mom, so obviously you like the mom a lot.
I am watching for the mom.
Yeah.
It was funny because, like, I didn't like her when she first showed up because she was, like, going around his back to Mirae to try to get Mirae. And he didn't want to talk to her,
uh-huh.
and Mirae, and so, like, mom was, like, pressuring Mirae to get them together. And we didn't have the information why he didn't want to talk to mom, and I was just like, I mean, if you know he doesn't want to talk to you, you have to respect that, and you shouldn't, like, be putting his, like, friends in weird positions.
Right.
And it reminded me of Dorian's father from Dragon Age.
Mm-hmm.
Like tries, whatever. We won't go on a Dragon Age tangent.
But yes, I know what you mean with Dorian's father, yes.
Then funny because like his father, Kyung-suk's father, is like serious garbage.
Yes.
Like, in a show that is like hashtag men are garbage. His father is like one of the top garbages.
Mm-hmm.
But the scene that made me immediately switch to mom, like, wasn't even the most garbage. It was when it was baby Kyung-suk who was crying and the dad was like, men don't cry, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And mom came out and was like teaching him.
First off, I love that whole episode.
Yep.
But I especially loved that scene because yeah, like, I mean, I think it's always nice when you have like gender equality, but even like little things like that. Right. Like it doesn't matter if
things like that are like how we raise our children
yeah,
makes a difference.
Exactly. And then, of course, when she said, like, you know, the real strength is not hurting people who are weaker than you. And I was like,
oh, my God, yes.
Yes. Yes. I was like, ah, my God. And also, like, I love that it's like, even though he hates his mom, he still, like, sort of does what his mom taught him.
Yeah.
So nice.
Like, even before we found out just how abnormally terrible, although part of the point of the show is this isn't abnormally terrible. All men are like this. No, if it had just been the boys don't cry, like, that sucks, but that's still, like, a normal person.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
But I was already on mom's side before we even found out what, like, an above and beyond trash person dad was.
Right.
So that one seed is what did it for me. And then, yeah, so I watched for mom. I loved mom. The only thing that could have made the finale more perfect for me is if there had been more mom.
Yes.
I love the one scene that we got, but I would have loved more of, like, the like me, Ray, and the family together. Like,
yes. I mean, if we could have had some, like, birthday dinner with, like, both families.
Yeah, all exactly.
there, that would have been my favorite
thing. Out in the cold somewhere.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. The perfect juxtaposition. But
I would have loved to see Ray, yeah, with his mom and sister again, some more, and mm-hmm. her parents in there, too. I would have liked that, because I loved the scene in the I think it was the penultimate episode, where, like, mom catches them on their work date.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was so cute.
So I would have loved more of, like, we got to see her serious badass side, but I would have loved to see that, like, cool mom parent side a little bit more in the finale as
yeah.
well. We didn't
I mean,
get that.
You were also making, you know, jokes about how they're babies and they don't even know what sex is, let alone are that, you know, nothing's going to happen with the music.
Yep.
Which reminded me, like, the scene where she catches them in the drama, like, in the webtoon. In the webtoon, she's like, make sure you use protection. And they haven't even kissed yet. And I was like, oh, God. And I knew they weren't going to put in the drama. I knew they were never going to say that. But she would say that. Like, you know she would say that. So it was sort of
funny. Absolutely. Like, here's her pamphlets. If anybody needs a ride to a clinic.
Exactly. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, the thing that, like, obviously I talked about this drama forever, so I loved everything about it. But the thing that really stood out to me was just how many relationships there were between women in it.
Yes.
And, yeah, like, all the different yes. varying levels of friendship, and even people who aren't really friends, but women reaching out to other women, like Un and Sua at the end. So, yes, I loved all of that. And I liked, like, I think I've said this before, but, like, the fact that usually you have a second female lead and she's, like, the antagonist and she can be, like, you know, messing up everyone's lives just because. But in this case, it really was, like, because there's so few women, you can think, like, well, that's just how women are when women are competing for a man. But in this one, it's like, this is how Soya is because there's something wrong with her. Whereas nobody else is like that. You know what I mean? All the other women are, like, trying to help each other, or at least they learn to help each other. And then there's
what
Soya.
What I liked about that so mm-hmm. much, too, is that, like, when I did my very first K-drama Characters Deserve Better article,
mm-hmm.
my honorable mention was to all the second female leads.
Yeah.
Who were just painted as, like, generic, evil, bitchy, like, whatever.
Right.
Right. And I was like, I love antagonistic female interactions, because that's the point, is that we want such a spectrum of women mm-hmm. that, like, we want women supporting women, but we also want there to be antagonistic relationships, as long as it's not one note necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. Something that's, like, that feels real. Yeah.
So I love that I don't have to say Suwa deserved better
mm-hmm.
because they gave, like, her arc was fantastic.
Yes.
Like, we got, like, the way, that was the thing is, like, that's why my only complaint about the finale is a quibble, because I loved where they went with Suwa's arc
mm-hmm.
and what they did with it. And I was like, that was perfect, because she was terrible for a lot of the drama, and there's no excuses
mm-hmm.
for that. But there are reasons, and I like that we explored them and I relate to them. And
yeah.
I'm glad that we got there and it did redeem her at the end
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, how often, she was really terrible, but how many dramas start with a male lead acting that terrible, and he stops being that terrible, but he never really has to, he's never really held accountable.
Right. He doesn't have to deal with, like, with what he did, or really actually make up for it, I guess. It's just, he just starts being nicer.
Whereas when they started holding Suwa accountable and started making her make up for it, I was like, I am a happy, like, part of me is happy about this because, you know, she was being terrible, but the other part isn't, because it's not fair. Why is she being treated this way? But the fact that it then did the work in the finale to, like, push through to the other side of that.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. It was really nice seeing her go to therapy and then, like I said, like, seeing Un be there for her. And even, like, I'm glad that they didn't make, like, her and Mirai suddenly into besties. And Mirai was
yes.
like, I can't help her because I'm not still helping myself. But Mirai was still, like, good to her, you know, and wanted to make sure she was safe, etc. So I was like, okay, that's
well,
nice.
Good about, like, I don't like you, I'm not going to be friends with you, but, mm-hmm. like, we're still good people, and, like, I'm going to, like, take care of you
right.
when you need it, when you have anybody else. Like, mm-hmm. I liked that, like.
Yes! Yes!
And I love that, like, it was Sue who gave her that.
Oh, the perfume. Yeah. Yeah.
The way they framed that scene, at first I thought it was one of the trash men.
Yeah.
Giving it to Sue, and I was like, oh, God. But then it was actually because it was the trash man noticing Sue on campus.
Yeah.
That's actually what it was. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, cuteness.
I did get more invested in
as Sue's plot line was picking up in the last couple episodes, and mom and his sister, like, then I actually was in the main couple. Like, they were cute when they were cute, but I actually, like, wasn't that invested in it. I'm sorry.
I forgive you. I forgive you. I think that there's obviously, like, different aspects can entertain different people, but as long as, you know, as long as you find something good about it, that's all I can ask for.
I think it's like, he loved Mi Rae, but I was not bored, but, like, when it was about Mi Rae and Kyung Suk, I was like, oh, okay, you're not really doing a lot for me. But then when, like, Mi Rae, like, when she gave her speech to Sue at the end, or like, when she, and then I was like, oh my god, yes, Mi Rae, like, girl, like, my baby. Then I was really into it all of a sudden. And I was like, no, I do really love you as a character. You and Kyung Suk just, you know, you're fine. I'm glad you make each other happy, but that wasn't where my emotional investment was. Which is rare for me for a drama, but I actually love finding ones, even though I won't watch a drama if I don't think I'm going to get emotionally invested in the couple, because that's just what I want to use my drama space for. I really love it when there are other things that get me invested. And if I have enough other things to get me invested, then retroactively I don't need to be
invested.
If I don't think there's a possibility of me getting into the romance, I probably won't start it.
I mean, that's pretty much how I think that's how I am. Like, if I don't think that I'm going to get in the romance, then yeah, I'm probably not going to check out that drama. But I would say, like, it's probably like half and half for me that, like, I end up caring about something else other than the ship a lot more. But then, of course, the one that I like the most gave me a strong investment in the ship, for sure. Obviously, I loved Mi Rae and Kyung Suk, but I don't need you to.
Yep.
All right. So, speaking of ones that have other things that are not the main ship, I did start You're Beautiful, and I've seen 5 episodes. And this is actually the most I've seen of, I've literally just forgotten her name, Park Hee-shin. Is that her name?
Park Shin-hye. Park Shin-hye.
Oh, it's Park Shin-hye. Okay. Yeah, I just switched her name. But yeah, I really love her. I think she's adorable and awesome. But I've never, like, I've only seen, like, I had previously seen 2 episodes of Airs. And then I think I've just, like, seen her around, but I've never actually watched one of her dramas. So this is the first one of her dramas I've watched. And the first Hong Sisters drama that I've started watching. So
she's also the lead in Flower Boy Next Door.
Yes, I have heard great things about that one.
Primarily about her emotional development.
Okay.
That's good.
Very cool.
And I've seen her in Pinocchio, which was cute. The drama was named after her, like, mental complex or whatever.
Okay.
But then was more about Lee Jung-suk, not about her.
Sad.
And that kind of pissed me off, but she was good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't actually know that I have seen a lot more that she's been in. Because Doctors, I didn't... Kim Rae-won is too much older than her. I wasn't having it. Yeah, I don't know if I've seen her in a lot of other stuff.
Well, that's much more than I've seen her in.
Well, and she's really adorable in Little House in the Woods, which is a variety show she did with So Ji-sub, only not with him, because the premise is that they live in a little, like, a tiny house in the woods.
Okay.
But they each have their own. It's either they, I don't know if they have separate tiny houses or they're in the tiny house at different times.
Okay.
But they are not
living. But they're not living definitely together. Tiny houses and woods.
They're not living together in the tiny house.
Okay. I got you.
But each episode has scenes of both of them.
I see.
She's really adorable and seems like a really good cook too, actually.
Oh,
like,
good.
There's a lot of shots of her making food and, like, I'm a weirdo who loves watching that.
Mm-hmm. She's a multi-talented actress.
I was like, I'm in love with you. Your dinners look really good. You're adorable when you're making them. This is where we are now.
Nice.
So there's clips of that on YouTube. That's all I was watching. Cool. But You're Beautiful. Yeah. Speaking of very one-dimensional second female leads.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So what I've seen of Yoohee, like, oh, my God. Like, I was like, okay, so you're fake. I get that you're fake. But that's all I know about her so far. She's super fake. And she likes secrets. And that's why her hair is so big.
That's all there is.
Like,
I mean, the Han sisters were my early favorite drama writers.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because my first real drama in its entirety was My Girl. Which was their 2005. It was their sophomore drama.
Okay.
And then, like, there's that zany humor. It's just, like, that's where I live.
Yeah.
So, like, I love them. And, like, their female leads are really awesome. In some of the other dramas, their female leads get to have other female friends.
What?
But up until, like, Paul Yugi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about Big because I didn't watch it. I don't remember with Master Son, and I really don't remember Warm and Cozy because nothing happened. But, like, up until Hwal Yugi, their second female leads were so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, why are your second female leads so terrible? They just exist to be terrible. And for you to hate them.
Yeah, that sucks.
Types about women.
Right.
So, well, unfortunately.
I do love Cody, though. At least she's there. The stylist?
Yeah.
Girl, I love her.
Yeah.
She's, like, my favorite character.
Yes.
Although, even though she gave away the secret to he, but that was an accident. She didn't know that she was doing that, so it's fine.
Well, and I actually like the fact because I mean, You're Beautiful. Some of my early dramas were, like, Sungkyunkwon Scandal, You're Beautiful, and Coffee Prince. And, I mean, drama, they tend to go in waves, right? So,
yeah.
It's, like, 2009, 2010. I mean, cross-dressing dramas, secretly a girl dramas are, like, they never go away.
Uh-huh.
But there was, like, an especially big surge there for a while.
Yeah.
And so what I liked about You're Beautiful is the way that it stood out is that most of the characters knew.
Right. Most of the characters found out the secret early on. Yeah, I was super surprised when Taekyung found out, like, in episode 2. And, of course, yep. Shinwoo already knew. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I didn't care about Shinwoo knowing because he's, you know, not the male lead. But I was really surprised that Taekyung, like, found out long before he contemplated having feelings for her. So I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Shinwoo is of the four of, like, of Angel or Angel or however you're supposed to say it.
Yeah.
He is the only one with any brain cells to rub together.
That is accurate. That is absolutely accurate. Because this is definitely a show full of very stupid people.
I mean, at least I'm glad that the rest of Angel is that stupid so that it's not just Minam.
Right, right. Yeah, because I would think that, like, if she were portrayed, like, as naive, I get that she's, like, naive, like, she literally came out of a convent, but if she was the only one portrayed that way, then I think they would get really, like, I would be annoyed with the writing a lot faster. And I was a little bit annoyed with the writing in the first episode, and then in the second episode, I was like, okay, they're all idiots, it's fine. I'm okay with this.
It's not like Sun Shinwoo is a genius here. He's just, like, the only one, like,
yeah.
With any...
But
any, like,
yeah, and like I definitely
would have never figured it out if he hadn't seen the thing.
That's true. That's true. I definitely feel the, like, Boys Over Flowers vibe though, with, like, the, you know, like, passionate and fiery male lead who's an asshole, and then the but secretly not that much of an asshole, maybe.
I mean, that was 2009.
Yeah, exactly.
So Boys Over Flowers was a phenomenon then.
Yeah, and so, then, like, of course, I mean, like, the, like, straight laced second male lead who's, like, in love with her and super nice to her, but, you know, it's not happening for him. So,
like, the second lead syndrome in uh-huh. You're Beautiful is famous. It's one of the most famous
yeah,
examples.
I'm feeling that shit.
To the point that whatever his name is and Park Shin-hye very quickly after starred in a drama Heartstrings together.
Yes! All the Vicky comments have been telling me that. Like, all the Vicky comments are like, if you want to see them together, watch Heartstrings! So I know that's going on my list.
Well...
Is it bad?
I've only seen clips of it. I've heard it wasn't that great. I heard it was just kind of a mess. And it sounds like the problem is that they, like, I think they said this on a Drama Candy podcast recently.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, like, they threw that together too quickly to try to capitalize on
the second lead syndrome?
Like, wide second lead syndrome. I don't share that second lead syndrome because he never says a thing to her, and I just don't have time for that. And one of the most swoony, supposedly, scenes of the second lead syndrome is when, like, he goes on a date with her, except uh-huh. they're not on, like, it's a stalker date. Like, she's out just wandering in Seoul, like, having a good time,
mm-hmm.
and he's, like, following her.
And she doesn't know he's following her, right?
Yes, and that's
creepy.
Their date. And
that's just weird. That's stupid.
Talking to her on the phone a little bit during it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, I mean, I get on the one hand that they can't hang out together because they'd be too conspicuous, like, they're conspicuous enough on their own
mm-hmm.
without being together. So I kind of understand that, but, like, at the other hand, that doesn't make it romantic.
Wait.
One thing if, like...
Is it, so, I mean, he's stalking her, right? Like, it's not,
yes.
She doesn't know, they're not on a, it's not like healer.
Yes. No.
Okay.
No, it would be one thing if they were on the phone together, and she knew they were on the phone together.
Right,
and they
right.
just couldn't physically be
exactly.
in the same space.
That would be cute.
I think at one point he talks to her a little bit on the phone, but, like, says that he's somewhere else, or what, like, I don't know. But then, like, mostly, yeah, it's just him, like, following her around. And I'm just like, look, because for the longest time, that's all second male leads were. They never did anything. And maybe it's because I felt I had to justify shipping the male lead, even though he was terrible to her.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, you don't do anything.
Right. Like, I don't mind not doing anything because I feel like he's already noticed that she likes the other guy. Like, every time they have a scene together, he's like, I'm sad because you like the other guy. So, like, why would he do anything? There's no point. But... for it to, like, continue, like, I'm just like, I don't want to see more of that. Like, you're sad. I'm sad for you. I like you better than the other guy. But, we gotta stop this now. I don't want to see more of that.
I need to look up this guy's name, because the other reason why I didn't find it is that Jang, whatever his name is, the male lead,
Jung Yong-hwa,
is just a better actor than Jung Yong-hwa.
Oh, Jung Kung-suk. Jung Kung-suk.
So he's famous because he's also the lead, the head of this K-pop band, CN Blue.
Okay.
Which, it's interesting because, like, it wasn't like he was in K-pop and then he was, like, an actor. Like, CN Blue, I think, also debuted around 2009, and him being in You're Beautiful and being instantly so famous from that helped that band get more famous.
Oh, okay.
But he's just literally wooden for a really long time. Like, he's wooden in this. Like, Jang-hyuk is just a more charismatic, like actor, or whatever his name is.
Oh, you're talking about the guy that plays Shinmu is more wooden, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, so, when like, I was watching, that's why I compared him to Jihoo. Because I was like, he's like that wooden second male lead, but
yeah.
I think he's much warmer than the guy from Boys Over Flowers. Like, I was like, this is like an interesting version of that character. So I already liked him better than that character.
He's definitely better than the Boys Over Flowers second lead.
Yeah.
He develops as an actor. I first saw him give any facial expressions at all in like Mi Rei's Choice, which was a, don't watch it.
Okay.
The premise of the show is her having to make a choice, and then the entire show ends without us knowing what that choice is.
Well, that's
like which one she made.
Okay, I guess.
And so we're all just like, no. But he was the second lead in that, and I was like, oh my god, like look at you with like facial expressions.
Oh wow.
And then I saw him in The Package, which was like this time last year, and that was actually really good. So I recommend that. He did a good job. He is also, if you have to pick a wooden second male lead between him and Boys Over Flowers, pick him, because although he's involved in scandals, they are not trash boy scandals.
They're just, okay. Well, that's good to know.
There's a possible insider trading scandal.
What? All right.
I don't know how that shook out insofar as he's not in jail, so I imagine he was exonerated of that.
Right.
Otherwise, he would be in jail. And then he was in some other scandal earlier this year about, he was in some university Masters of Music program.
Okay.
And it turned out he was probably just, like, admitted to that because he was famous.
Scandal! Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, that's such a, like, in Korea, and it was in America, we're like, well, of course you're just going to let a famous person or a rich person in. Like, the schools just do that, right? But in Korea, like, it's a big deal. Universities are really hard to get in. Like, good universities are very difficult to get into. So somebody bypassing the admissions process because of connections is, like, really frowned upon.
I know this because of my love from the star.
Exactly.
When she was found to not be going to school.
The scandal over that is what eventually led to the incarceration of ex-president Park Geun-hye.
Wow.
Because it was her shaman, Choi Sun-sil's daughter, who got admitted to the prestigious Anhwa University, and there were people protesting it because they were like, she just got in through connections. It was people beginning to investigate that scandal that, like, hit the dominoes.
Wow.
That everyone just felt. So it's a big deal in Korea.
Yeah.
So he finally went. He was starting to get, like, close to overdue for his military service. So he finally was just like, I'm going to go to the military. Like, it was, like, time. I was like, just go to the military. You keep getting in scandals. Like...
That's funny.
But I'm not mad at him because it's not like a sexual harassment assault scandal, so I don't care.
Right. Those are the ones that really
sadly where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
That's sadly where we are right now. Whereas the guy who was Boys Over Flowers, second male lead, he was abusive to his girlfriend.
Yes. So good times.
He is canceled for life. You're Beautiful. For me, I wanted you to watch A Hong Sisters drama because it was so formative for me.
Mm-hmm.
You see other dramas with some wackiness, but a lot of them give it up before the end.
Yeah.
And A Hong Sisters drama is going to get more serious in the back half. That's just what they do. Like, any drama is more serious in the back half, but they never fully let go of that wackiness.
Right.
It's never completely gone, and that's something that is unique to them, because you'll have, like, your Walks of Love or some of the Flower Boy series or other ones like that. They don't tend to sustain it the whole way through.
Okay, so this will be consistent in the wackiness.
And I love that the cultural referencing, the fan fiction scene that I sent you from
that was hilarious. And that was very realistic, too.
My girlfriend is a gumiho. There's a lot of meta commentary.
Yeah.
There's like one, my girlfriend is a gumiho has this great scene where it's like about the love triangle again.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, they're imagining all these scenarios of like the second male lead and the female lead, like going up to the altar and the male lead, like busting it up. And then there's one where it's like the twist is that they're all siblings.
Oh my God.
And there's one where the wedding altar twist is
there's one where the twist is that they're all siblings.
Well, no, they're not.
No, but there's a dream scenario where the twist is that they're all siblings. Because that might be the scene I've been waiting for. Because, like, there was a scene that I once saw, like, a gift set of or something on Tumblr years ago, before I started watching K-dramas. And I was like, what is happening? And it was, like, this guy came in. I don't know if it was a wedding or something that he was interrupting. And he was like, no, we're siblings. And they all, like, hug and, like, vow revenge or something. And I was like, what is going on? I have been trying to find this for years. Now I finally know. Okay.
No, that's my girlfriend is a Gumiho. There's, like, the men are actually in love with each other scene, like, all the wedding altar, like, dream sequences. Like, that kind of humor.
Okay, that's hilarious.
The leads, once they get together, or as they're leading up together, are always reliably, like, painfully adorable together.
Okay.
Kong sister. We're not going to talk about Hwalyugi. We don't have time to talk about Hwalyugi.
Yeah, you've already told me not to stay away from that one.
I wanted it to be the answer to Goblin so much. Unfortunately,
it was not.
It was not. That cannot be. I didn't watch it all the way through, but I watched enough to know. And I watched the end. I skipped a bunch in the middle. Sadly, unfortunately. My Greatest Love is really fun. Especially, I loved reading the Drama Beans recaps of My Greatest Love. Because they were able to tell me just how much more wordplay was going on.
Oh, yes. That's why I read Drama Beans, too. Because I like seeing the puns, basically.
Pond Sisters beat everyone else by miles when it comes to that. And especially in The Greatest Love, apparently. And I, like, even though I can't appreciate that myself, I appreciate that it exists.
And understandable.
That gives them points for me. And that's just whatever his name is, chewing the scenery like crazy. It's a really classic character. But You're Beautiful is cute.
Yeah, aside from, like, because, like, right now I'm not really feeling the ship. And not that I even think he's that bad. Like, he's fine. I mean, he's not fine. He's kind of an asshole. But, like, at the same time, she is encroaching on his life.
He's not Boys Over Flowers.
Yeah, he's not Boys Over Flowers bad. And, like, and there's a reason that he's, you know, that he's put off by her. So, like, that's not that. I'm not that offended by it. I just am not, like, into this ship, but I really enjoy the interplay of the band members, you know, of the group. And I think that my favorite aspect at the moment is just, like, how much they show of, like, the fans. And that kind of interplay, because I'm like, it's sad that this is, like, not even that much of an exaggeration. Like, this is, feels real. This feels realistic. So, yes. I'm, like, sad that, because, like, we just found out where I am that her mom is dead. I mean, I assume that's true. So I feel, I was really sad about that, because I was hoping that it was going to lead to, like, reuniting the family and finding her mom. But I'm definitely interested in seeing where the aunt storyline goes. And for, like, a second, like, they said that her mom was a singer. And then, whatever, there's weird things going on with his mom. And I was like, are they going to pretend like they're siblings for, like, a couple episodes? Because that's super thing, a bad thing to do. So.
No.
Okay.
They're not going to pretend like they're siblings. Well, maybe they do for, I don't know.
I mean, are they going to make the audience think that his mom is her mom, is what I'm saying.
The drama between his mom and her mom will be their asinine reason for not being together.
Oh, God. All right.
In the last episode or two.
Okay.
But it's not over sibling stuff.
Okay, so it's just like there was like a rivalry between them, like one of someone cheated on someone else, whatever. Okay. Oh, really? All right. Okay. All right. Well, I look forward to finding out.
I don't know how to talk about it without like ruining it.
Yes, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. I will just know it's going to be horrible. Good to know.
It works out in the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to be sad that the Hong sisters, Master, they had like Big was terrible, and then Master's Son came out. Master's Son was good, but then Warm and Cozy was like boring, and Hwalyugi was a mess.
And
I
so
want to be sad, but we haven't had any good ones in a while, but at the same time they've made so many good ones, like how much can you expect?
Right, you can only do so much. And this one, then like the final thing that I was going to say about it is just like I really like Jeremy Lee Hunkies is like really funny. Yeah, he's really funny. Like, the light homophobia over his, you know, like, fear that part that Gominam is, like, seducing the other members or whatever. I was like, well, this is, like, on the level of Strong Woman. So, I don't know. Yeah. I wish that it didn't recur so often. Like, it happens a lot in dramas. But I don't know.
And it's 10 years older than Strong Woman.
Yeah.
So.
Well, sure. But it's still happening in dramas, you know? Obviously. Yes. Since it happened in Strong Woman. I wish that it would go away on a macro level. But in the drama itself, like, they did use it for laughs, like you said. So it was, you know, and it doesn't...
Yeah, you can't fault You're Beautiful specifically for doing
it
because...
Right.
And she, Park Shin-hye and Lee Hong-ki, who plays Jeremy, mm-hmm. are apparently, like, still buddies.
Aw.
Which I think is sweet.
Yeah.
So. That's
that.
Cute. Yep. And people should watch something by the Hong sister. If you're, like, if you become enough of a drama watcher that you're like, okay, I'm, like, watching dramas and I'm watching classic dramas, I would have to cater a specific Hong sister's drama to what somebody's interests were, but mm-hmm. I would say you should watch at least one Hong sister's drama if you're, like, an avid drama watcher. So.
Mm.
So I'm probably biased to that because they were very, a lot of my early dramas were them. But. Mm-hmm.
So, next up, I guess, is premiere week. There was plenty of dramas that premiered this week, and I watched 4 of them, because I can't watch all of them, and also I didn't want to watch the others. So, there is that. I watched, I saw the first 2 episodes of The Third Charmed, The Third Charm, Where Stars Land, and The Beauty Inside, and then 1 episode of The Smile Has Left Your Eyes. So I guess I'll just go in chronological order. So, Third Charm is on JTBC, Fridays and Saturdays, and it's got So Kang Joon and Isam, she was in Because This Is My First Life, and he is in everything, but most recently, Are You Human?
That is the one I'm most excited about of this week's premieres.
Yeah, it was, so, the first episode was really cute, they both do a great job and have great chemistry, like, and they have to because the show is literally just like, their relationship. What is up with them? So, I'm a little bit surprised that, because it's supposed to be, like, spanning 12 years of their relationship, right? And then also, like, they meet 3 times, right? Like, they're together, I guess, 3 times. So I was surprised by how short the first time was. Like, by the end of the second episode, you're done with the first time. And I was like, what? We're at the next time now? So, so that was surprising. Also surprising, because of how, like, light and fun and just, like, oh, this is cute, they're dating now, the first episode was. The second episode was, like, pain. Like, my friend Amber and I were watching, we're like, is this episode 12? Like, what's happening? Why are we in pain? So I guess be prepared for that.
If they get the pain out of the way early, then you're good. Right. If this is how bad it is at episode 2...
it's got to get better.
Then I'm wondering for episode 12.
Well, right. The thing is, so it's the third charm, right? So presumably the third time is going to work. The second time's got to not work. So hopefully they get the second time over with quickly, too. By episode 4, we'll be done with the second pain.
If we do this, let's get through our bad charms quickly and then not suffer.
Exactly.
Flip the trauma book on its head for once.
And... yes. I feel like none of them, like, of the 4 that I watched, like, none of them was, like, my new obsession. Like, I have to watch this. You know what I mean? I'm definitely, of all the shows that are currently on, I guess the closest to that would be The Ghost Detective for me right now. Just because I'm like, is he alive? What's happening? And by the way, I now know the answer to whether or not he's alive, but I won't tell you.
A little bit talking about how heavy that one gets, but for that cast, if I will not suffer at the ending, I have to watch that drama.
Yes. If you won't suffer at the end, you have to watch it. But so I will tell you if you suffer at the end or not. But anyway, back to this. So The Third Charm, like, it's got... like, the supporting cast right now is, like, not that important, but they have, like, sort of sketched out, like, who is around both of them. Uh-huh. So I expect that we're going to get to see more of their personal lives unfold as the episodes go. But in terms of their chemistry, it is great, and that is what you would have to watch for. So if you're into that, you should watch that. Where Stars Land, I literally don't even know what the channel is for that one. And also it's changed names, like, 300 times. So I was like, what is the show that I'm watching? What am I going for? I'm literally only watching it for Choi Soo-bin. But now I have found a couple more reasons for why I would want to watch it. But I was not wowed by the first 2 episodes. Mm. I was, I don't know. It's SBS. That's the network, by the way. And it's Mondays and Tuesdays. So Choi Soo-bin's character, I just don't like her yet that much. She got a little better at the end of the second episode, and obviously Soo-bin plays her wonderfully, but it's just kind of like this girl who seems really bad at her job and supposedly has a lot of passion for it, but doesn't seem to want to try to, like, play by the rules, and it doesn't work that she doesn't play by the rules because she's not good at going outside of the rules. So I'm like, it's not like she's like Sherlock, you know? Oh, genius rule breaking. It's just kind of like, I don't want to do this. I want to do it my way so that I'll get more recognition, but I'm not getting more recognition because my way sucks. So I was like, okay, I guess. But yeah, like I said, she gets better at the end of the second episode. Oh, I just read that apparently Park Bo-gum and Suzy were offered the lead roles and declined them. So I'm glad that he did. Hopefully boyfriend is better than this because he must have declined for a reason. Anyway, sorry, moving on. Lee Ji-hoon? Yeah? Is the male lead?
Yeah.
And so he's, like, I think he's interesting. Like, it's, like, not clear what's going on with him. So, like, the thing is, like, it's an airport, and it's literally, like, sponsored by Incheon Airport. But he has, like, maybe a bionic arm, maybe superpowers. It's not totally clear yet. But, like, his right arm is super powerful.
Isn't this the movie that's, like, set in an airport?
It is. No, it's set in an airport. Yeah. It's about people working in an airport.
A bionic arm if it's a drama about an airport.
Exactly. So that's, it makes you think, they made you think it was a drama about an airport. And you're like, why would people care? But, but then they're like, no, but secretly one of the people at the airport has a, like, super bionic arm and he's trying to keep it a secret. I was like, okay. Thank you. That's exciting, I guess. So he has this arm, but he can't feel pain in it, and it's very powerful. So I don't know what's going on with it, but we'll see.
Are there going to be, like, terrorist attacks at the airport that he's going to have to stop with his bionic arm?
Well, there's already been a couple of incidents that he has prevented with his bionic arm. So the second episode had, like, a bomb threat, but it wasn't a real bomb threat. And yet, his bionic arm still saved the day. So we'll see. And, of course, specifically, he saved her before the show started. And
of course,
that's how she remembers him. But because he's trying to keep it a secret and, like, live a normal life for reasons. Like, because if it was just, like, an arm, you know, like if it was a prosthetic arm that he had to get because he was in an accident, I don't know why we would need to keep it a secret, which just makes me think that he's something else, but whatever. So he's also very bad at keeping a secret. I feel like, kind of like You're Beautiful, I feel like half the cast now knows that something is going on with his arm. And it's only been two episodes. And it's all because of Choi Soo-bin. Because before she showed up, people did not know. And now she's shown up, and everybody freaking knows that something's going on with his arm. But anyway. So they have interesting chemistry. They have good chemistry. But, like, it's like, oh, enemies kind of to friends. But, like, their enemy-dom is weird. Like, I don't know. I just don't like that her character kind of seems to thrive on this, like, it's like, don't treat me differently because I'm a woman, but really the reason you're treating me differently is because I'm not good at what I'm doing and not because I'm a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, like, saying the things, but it's not actually showing the things. And then she, like, went on some rant to him about, like, how he has life so easy because he was smart and he had good grades, and so then people treat him well because he got his job through being smart and hard work. And I was like, wait, what? As opposed to you? I don't understand. I didn't know where they were going with that. And I guess it was supposed to be like, she thinks that he's privileged, but really he has this bionic arm that makes him super powerful. So she's wrong? I don't know. We'll find out. But one thing I really did like is Kim Ji-soo plays sort of their boss. She's like the head of customer service at the airport. Customer relations, I guess. And she's just really awesome. Like, I don't know. She knows about his arm, and so she's trying to protect him. And then she knows that Choi Soo-bin is terrible at her job, but she's still trying to, like, make her better at her job. So I'm like, aw, what a great person. Just trying to help everybody be better at their life. And then she's also, like, standing up to her superiors and laying down the law with them. And then she's got some ugly-ass ex-husband who I don't know what he's doing, but he's super annoying, and hopefully she defeats him with the power of her words and her airport job. So there we go. That's why I'm currently watching, because she's so awesome. I will give it a couple more episodes to see what happens. But at the moment, I was not particularly. I totally forgot about Terry's Behind Me. That's another one. Okay, there was five dramas. I watched Terry's Behind Me. So
you make fun of me but you, like, are awed at how fast I get through dramas. That's because I only watch one drama at a time.
That's true.
I've watched all five of these premieres plus five episodes of You're Beautiful.
You're right.
Like, if you had that much drama time to wait, you'd be drawn as fast as I was, too.
That's true. It's just, I just can't do, like, I almost never binge, because it's, like, I don't know, I guess, like, my brain, like, can't do the same thing, continue to do the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
It's probably because my introduction to dramas was with binging. Mm. Like, it was me with my bridesmaids one weekend,
when we were supposed to be doing wedding stuff, and instead we binged My Girl.
Aw, that's so cute.
So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, that's like how I interact with dramas. So
I like it. But yeah, so I guess I'll say Terry's behind me. That's with, I literally cannot remember anybody's names. Help me.
Soji Sub. I love.
Yes.
He's really good. He apparently dedicated quietly a bunch of, or donated a bunch of money quietly to some, like, domestic violence
That's awesome. Program. That's awesome.
And I'm trying it. I'm probably going to watch this drama. I've been mad at how much older he is than her.
Yes. That's a little bit awkward. But so far, I mean, I'm sure it will get romantic. Like, let's not lie. It's going to get romantic. But at the moment, it's not. And it's super funny. Like, there's a little bit of, like, tonal whiplash. Because it'll be like, oh, spy action, murder time. And then it's like, oh, babysitting with the kids. but the parts
sounds
that are...
Sounds like a Becky Chang movie.
Yeah, but the parts that are babysitting with the kids are the best parts. Like, it's just hilarious. Just seeing, like, this whole, like, network of, like, you know, stay-at-home moms and one dad, who is my favorite. He was a sous chef in Oh My Ghostess, and he's, like, the best friend in Secretary Kim. And he was, like, the uncle. Guy. Yeah, him.
Oh, he would be such a good lone stay-at-home dad character.
Oh. So, like, they are, like I was telling you, there's a part in, like, the premiere week, the first two episodes, when her kids get, quote-unquote, kidnapped, right? Like, they go missing. And so then the moms and dad, like, all, like, put out their little, like, group chat network to all other moms and dads and, like, find the children in 10 minutes. And almost catch the guy that took them, too. So I was like, wow, they could go up against the NIS agents, clearly. So that part's really fun. And then, of course, Soji Sub, who plays Kim Bom, becomes Erin, the main girl's babysitter, while she's, like, getting a new job in order to take care of the house because her husband died. So that part, him with the kids, is super hilarious. And then, of course, all the moms and dads are amazing. And getting to see Erin sort of, like, pick herself up, right? What's happened to her husband. And I haven't watched this week's episodes yet, like, because it started last week, I guess. So I haven't watched this week's episodes. But she doesn't yet know exactly what happened to her husband. I think it's like they had just found out that something fishy was going on. It wasn't because it looked like a heart attack. But then they found some camera footage, I think, where it looked like someone was following him. So even without her, like, being in the loop at all, it was still, like, really interesting to see how she was, like, getting through things and, like, what she was picking up on. And, of course, he didn't have any more information than she did, really, other than just, like, he is, I guess, an agent. So he was just like, this seems fishy. He must have been murdered. And it must be connected to this other murder. So I don't know how he figures things out. But yeah, there's the whole other plot where he's, like, on the run from his ex-agency because he's implicated in some betrayal, which I'm sure he did not commit. But I literally do not care about that. I could not care less. I just, like, fall asleep during those scenes. So that's what it's like, But the scenes I like, I really, really like.
So we'll just have to see.
Yes.
Where it decides to focus later.
Yeah. And then I'm not going to say that much about The Beauty Inside because I was just like, let me just check out the first two episodes just to see. Because I don't really want to watch it because of Lee Min-ki, as we have discussed many times about him. And I don't like him. I don't like him in the drama. I don't even like his character in the drama, I mean.
I mean, it's so sad because we're going to talk about always girlfriends, so Hyunjin might be one of mine.
Yes, I love her. She's great. And that's why I wanted to check it out, because I wanted to see, you know, like, I hadn't watched Let's Eat 2, and I didn't want to, because I know what happens to her afterward. But I wanted, you know, she seems really, really, like, personable and, like, fun in the trailers and stuff, and she was. Like, her character was really great in the movie, in the drama. and they also, like, I don't know, they gave her two friends instead of the one friend, which is already, cool. I think, an upgrade from the original web movie, where it was just him alone. So that's interesting, like, they keep adding people for her. But yeah, so she has two friends, and her interactions with both friends are really funny and adorable. And it makes a lot more sense to me now, like, because I remember I kept, like, telling you, like, I don't get it, like, she only transforms for 1 week, like, who cares, just take a week off, but that is what she used to do, and now it started, like, out of control, like, it's starting happening, and she doesn't know when it's gonna happen, so now it makes sense that it's, like, a problem.
Yeah.
And then it also, I guess, makes sense that, like, the reason she will fall for him is because he literally, like, because he can recognize people based on things other than faces, right? So he, like, saw her ring or something, so he just immediately started talking to her like it was her without noticing that something was different. And then, so that's when she's like, oh my god, he's the first person that's ever really seen me for me, because even my friends don't recognize me when I transform, blah blah. So I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand. I don't care, because I don't like him, but I understand what you're doing. So, yes. And honestly, like, the first episode, I was not feeling it even outside of not liking him. I was like, eh. But then, like, the first, like, the last 5 minutes, there was, he brings her on a business trip, and he didn't tell her what he needed her to do, which was super annoying, like, which is one of the reasons why I didn't like it. I was like, why is he taking her on this business trip when she doesn't even know what she's doing? Like, how can she do it well if she doesn't know what it is? Ah! But the reason was that the person that he wanted to work with, their daughter, like, is, like, a super fan of her. Yeah. So that guy brought his daughter, and the daughter, it turns out the daughter is deaf. And Lehman Key's character didn't even know that, so way to do your research. But yeah, so she's deaf, and so then this guy's complaint was that, like, the airline does not provide enough services for people with disabilities, basically. And so then, so Hyunjin just starts talking, like, starts signing to her, because she had learned sign language, because in case she wakes up and is, you know, cannot speak, she needs to be able to use sign language. Yeah. So she starts signing with her, and it was really cute. And so then, because of that, like, then Lemmy Kid's like, see, we are gonna, like, she's the face of our company because she's representing what we represent, and we're gonna make sure to blah, 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 blah. So then they got the deal. Okay, wonderful. So that part, I was like, that's nice. I really like that they had that for her. And then, of course, she just tells him, like, she learned it because she's an actress, so she might need to use it for a role. But, you know, it's because she might wake up one day and not be able to speak. So, yeah. Better than that, probably will not continue. So. I will continue The Smiles Left Your Eyes, though. I watched the first episode, because the second one's not subbed yet. Or it's probably subbed now, but it wasn't subbed when I watched. And it is super weird. I don't know if you've seen Hella Monster, where Seong-guk is, like, the cop, and Park Bo-gum is the person he's trying to catch.
I've intentionally not, because I don't like to suffer. I've spoiled myself. So...
Well, there actually was not, I was expecting much more suffering in that one than there actually was. I actually suffered a lot less than I thought. But there was some crying. But yeah, so this time it's like Seong-guk in the Park Bo-gum, or even worse, the, like, monster that is controlling Park Bo-gum, right? This character. So I was like, this is gonna be weird. I don't think I've ever seen him in a role where I was like, you have bad intentions, and I can't like you. So yeah, it's interesting. But, like, it was weird because the first episode, I was like, it seems so normal. Everything's, like, so normal right now. Like, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know? And it's got Detective, the Captain Detective, whatever you want to call him, from Life on Mars, who's awesome. Park Sung-woon? Is that his name? But, yes, Park Sung-woon. That is his name. So he is Jung So-min's older brother.
Okay.
And so in the first episode, it's really just, like, watch him be, like, disrespected by his coworkers, and also try really hard to get his little sister a man, even though he doesn't have a woman, so, like, what is he doing missing in her life?
It's an upsetting promo for that drama, where it's, like, Seong-guk and Jung So-min are hugging, and then Big Brother is, like, pointing a gun, like,
yes.
Jung So-min's back is to him, and I was like, this just looks like pain.
It is gonna be pain. It's gonna be pain. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. But that's why I was so surprised that the first episode was, like, not much pain. I was just like, oh, it's, like, surprise. The real twist is that this is actually just a family drama in which Park Sung-woon really wants Jo Seung-min to get married.
If that twist ends up, like, holding, then I will watch it.
No, it won't. It won't. Because then by the end of the first episode, I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. It was like, the detective,
you
right?
You can't just leave immediately out of the gate, or no one is going to keep watching. Yeah. You have to hook people and make them suffer.
So, yeah, so like, end of the first episode, he's like, oh, the murderer is like this. And then there's a scene of Seong-guk being like this. And I was like, oh, okay, I see. I see what's happening now. Not that I didn't know. I already knew that. Why am I gasping? I already knew that. But yes. So I'm definitely going to continue, but it will be pain. That is all.
Yeah.
Okay. Now talk about upcoming dramas.
Okay. So there's a lot. I mean, for me, upcoming dramas are dramas that are airing right now. And I'm going to wait to see till they're done. But as of ones that haven't started, the two soonest, I guess is the way to put it.
Okay.
That are on my radar are, where did this go? Oh, Matrimonial Chaos with Cha Tae Hyun and Bong Joon-ho, because
those two. That would be adorable.
And I haven't even heard of that one. So what's that one about, other than Matrimonial Chaos?
It's kind of just that. It looks really lighthearted, and I'm a fan of that. And okay. So it's about, like, you get married, but then, you know, it's like that life after marriage.
Right. Okay, that's kind of cool. Life after marriage.
And I was like, I'm all for that. I'm getting old, I guess. I don't know. And I'm like, you know, but sometimes it's nice, you know, because the drama ends and usually the couple, you know, have just gotten together recently. And so it can be fun to see, like, a love story from a couple that's been together for a long time.
Right. That is nice.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I don't really know because I tend to avoid a lot of previews because I just don't want to get spoiled. I'll, like, hear the basic summary of a drama and then, like, kind of keep my ear to the buzz, mm-hmm. but not go for a lot of details until it's over.
That makes sense.
So that's pretty much all I know. I know it's Cha Tae-hyun and Bae Doona in a, like, life after marriage rom-com.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
But that's all I need to know for me to at least put it on my radar. Mm-hmm. So there's that. I think that's soon. I want to say that's in October sometime.
Okay.
There is this one, Kim Sa-ha and Lee Yi-kyung. And Lee Yi-kyung is... He was in I recognize him from Laughter in Waikiki.
Okay.
And what's the other one? Speaking of life after marriage romance stories, Go Back Couple.
That's right. Okay.
He was in Go Back Couple. I don't know that I like to. He always kind of rubs me the wrong way, which is why I'm, like, teetering on this, because it's Kim Sun-ah. And I adore, like, Kim Sun-ah has my love forever. Speaking of forever girlfriends. She is my love forever for My Name is Kim Samsoon.
Aww.
I haven't watched a lot of her dramas because I don't like a lot of her dramas.
Oh, no.
Well, just in terms of, like, they're either depressing or, like, just the most recent one she did before this one, it was just, like, a little mock-jong-y for me.
Okay.
Little Dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Which is on Netflix now. But it says it's with them. They're the leads. Called Red Moon, Blue Sun, describes itself broadly, according to Drama Beans, as an accident that's too short to completely change one's life.
Okay. Interesting.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means.
her character is a consultant who works at a children's center and enjoys life. If you work at a children's center, what are you consulting?
Consulting the children?
I guess. Enjoys life with a satisfying workplace, caring husband, affectionate daughter, and a second child on the way. Oh, no. Hold on. She gets caught up in a huge incident that cracks open her stable and comfortable life. Okay, no, I don't know how I feel about this.
Oh, now. No!
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. Okay, I could probably deal with her husband dying. Neither of her children must die or I'm automatically out.
I feel like that's like
disqualification for me.
No, yeah, like, totally. No one wants to watch that. Mm-mm. Her husband probably dies.
He is a detective in the violent crimes unit.
He's gonna die.
So, yeah, I'm gonna fine with the hubby dying. Honestly.
Yeah.
I can't.
He'll be fine.
That's a huge Nuna romance, too. She's in her 40s, and he looks... I don't know how old he is.
He looks like he's in his 20s, though.
Yeah. But I'm always... I'm such a hypocrite, because I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Right? You are! That's fine. I forgive you.
It's all about power.
Yeah.
Dynamics. He's 29, it says.
Okay.
So...
Barely. He's barely.
We will see. Basically, that one is just sort of on the cusp of my radar for Kim Sun-ah.
Mm-hmm.
That is pending a lot more information. And then there's Mama Fairy and the Woodcutter.
Okay.
It's a verified upcoming drama that's supposed to start on November 5th. It is on my radar for the cast and the summary. Because the cast is Moon Chae-won.
Okay.
You will probably, you know, are from Nice Guy, right?
Yeah, and Good Doctor.
Yeah, and Good Doctor. And then the... male lead is Yoon Hyun Min.
Okay.
Who I love. I don't know that you've seen him in anything.
He doesn't sound familiar to me.
No, he was like, not even the second lead. He was just like the friend, Park Seo Joon's like BFF in Which Is Love.
Okay.
And he was fun. And he's apparently real life BFFs with Jung Kyung Ho, one of my forever boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
They were in, what was it called? Heartless City together.
Okay.
And that's, like, they had on-screen and off-screen romance in that. And I watched as much of Heartless City as I could stand for the two
okay.
But it was just so sad and depressing. And so he was in Witch's Court. He was, like, such a good guy in Witch's Court. Like, A-plus there.
Nice.
And so Witch's Court was the one with Joe Rung So-won. Rung Seo-won. I'm so bad at names.
Who are we?
The one who was just Walks Love.
Jung Ryu-won?
Yes, Jung Ryu-won.
Okay.
And that was the one that was about, they were like a sex crimes prosecution.
Oh, unit. Okay. I like her. The actress.
She was so good.
Mm-hmm.
They were good for that.
Okay.
So I'm a fan of him getting to be like a lead in an actual romance and not that one. The romance was really back burner.
Yeah.
It was technically there, but they didn't. So Mama Fairy and the Woodcutter is apparently, so Moon Chae-won, mm-hmm. her character is a fairy who came down from heaven during the Goryeo period and took a bath at a waterfall. When she took the bath, a woodcutter took her winged fairy clothes and hid them.
Because how dare
of this,
he?
She could not return to heaven. She ended up marrying the woodcutter and they had two children together, but then her husband died from falling off a cliff.
Oh, okay.
She tried to find her fairy clothes, but she couldn't, so she decides to wait for her husband to be reincarnated. Now, in the present day, she's 699 years old and appears like a grandmother to most, but special people can see her true form as a young woman. She runs a strange little coffee shop tucked away in the mountains that serves special hand-ground coffee. When she gets a feeling that one of the two men visiting her shop from Seoul is her reincarnated husband, she decides to follow them to Seoul to find out.
Huh. That sounds interesting.
I'm a sucker for fantasy fairy tale.
Yeah.
I guess this yet again makes us face kind of what we were talking about in the most recent podcast about an immortal being versus not. Yeah.
Here's my question. Okay, well, first, he's the reincarnated version of her husband, so it's fine. And also, her husband cut off her wings and hid them. So, and then they were married, and he never told her where her wings are. So I think he deserves to, you know, be married to a 699-year-old woman. I'm okay with this.
This is very much like the Selkie storyline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's waiting. I mean, is she waiting? So I want to know. This is how it's going to come down. Is she waiting, and is she going to, like, kick his ass?
Right. Well, but she stayed married to him, and unless she pushed him off, he did not die because she was mad about the wings. So.
That's true. So basically, this could go. I mean, I like this cast. I feel like this cast usually makes good choices recently. So I'm hoping that that means that, like, our concerns about, you know, bad romance are assuaged. I like fairy tale type stuff, so
yeah, good.
That's the only one. And actually, the two that you have listed on your radar were all ones on my radar, but I thought they were premiering later than they are, so that's why.
I see. Well, yeah. Speaking of on my radar, on my radar. I'm gonna sing Britney Spears now song. Anyway, Boyfriend, TVN, November. Obviously, I'm gonna watch it because it's Park Bo Gum. Huh?
We are so ready. No, I am too. I'm in it immediately.
Yes. Like there's an and Song Hee Kyo, and they've been saying, like, people kept saying, like, oh no, she shouldn't do that because she's married now. And I was like, what is this? Let her live. So I'm excited. Nuna Romance, obviously excited. And the cast has been, like, the supporting cast has been popping up. I'm like, I'm happy about all of it. All of it sounds good to me. So I don't know.
What's the actual, do we have a summary of this?
Basically, the summary is that, like, she seems to have everything and he seems to have nothing. And she just, but then she sort of starts losing stuff because she just got divorced, right? She just got divorced, and so now she's got, like, some, like, scandals following her or whatever. And so she, like, goes to, like, Cuba, I guess, to, like, get away from it all. And I guess he's just also randomly in Cuba. I don't know why he's in Cuba. He's randomly in Cuba because he sucks at, like, finding a job. He keeps trying to find a job, but he, like, can't keep a job right now. And I guess he doesn't have enough education or something. I don't know what's going on. So he goes to Cuba for some reason. Maybe it's easier to get a job there. Then they meet, and then they fall in love, and then eventually, I guess, they go back to Korea, and things are terrible. Because it's so hard to be in love in Korea when you are Park Bo Gum and Song Hye Kyo. So here we go.
If Park Bo Gum and Song Hye Kyo were in love in Korea, it would be terrible.
It would be terrible. So, so yes, that is what it's about. And they keep saying, like, it's kind of like a melodrama, but I don't care. I'm in it. I'm already here. Like I said, I'm watching the smile behind whatever your eyes because of the cast, even though I know it will be pain.
Look at me in Just Between Lovers. I can handle the mellow.
Yeah. Sunday. Yeah. As long as it's good. As long as it's good, and as long as it happens for a reason. And it's not just like...
you have a happy ending.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Obviously, you have to have a happy ending. Like, that's just... duh. If it doesn't have a happy ending... I
mean, you're watching The Smile Is Left Your
Well, that's why I'm telling you not to watch it. I'm going in here fully aware that I'm just gonna want to die at the end of it. But, anyway... I don't actually want to watch Memories of the Alhambra because the age difference thing is kind of weird. Or, like, it's not even that bad. Like, it's not even that bad. She's not that young, and he's not that old, but he just looks really old. I'm sorry. No offense.
We're sorry.
Yeah.
It's funny because Hyun Bin got super famous for being in the Nuna Romance.
Yeah. And now it's reversal. Reversal time.
It's funny because that the summary of Boyfriend kind of sounds like Memories of the Alhambra as well.
Yeah, yeah, they do sound really similar, which is actually one of the reasons why I put them both, because it's like the reverse. They're the same, but the reverse.
And that's actually kind of what The Package, which I mentioned earlier, was about. That was in France.
Oh, yeah.
The package, the mm-hmm. eponymous package, is like a tour group package.
Oh, okay. I get it. I see.
Well, she's the Korean living in Paris, giving mm-hmm. the tour to Koreans, and he's one of the Koreans on the tour.
Oh, see? There you go. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll have to watch that. But yeah, so like Memories of the Alhambra is TVN also. All the TVN, and it's December. So I really like her, so I feel like I will end up watching it now that I've seen you know, You're Beautiful, and I feel like watching new things, like getting myself to watch new things is kind of easier than binging the old stuff, just because I'm like, well, I have to watch the episode because it just came out. It's like a schedule.
Everyone's talking about it too.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone's talking about it. But the other reason, like aside from him looking old, because that's, you know, it's not his fault. The fact that he's the CEO of a company, I'm always just like, oh, CEOs. Oh God. You know? But yeah. Hopefully it won't be, as long as it doesn't, because I just feel like whenever they have a CEO character, they feel like they need to focus on corporate shenanigans. And I'm like, I promise you, nobody wants corporate shenanigans. Just
no one.
Let his company run like a normal company and just don't worry about it. Focus on everything else, please. But yeah, I'm going to watch it. And then obviously I will be watching somehow this top management nonsense that's going to be on YouTube, which is now Premium and not Red anymore. So you had to change your name. YouTube Red was much better than YouTube Premium, but whatever. Here we are.
I have YouTube.
Yeah, I have regular YouTube.
I have YouTube Premium.
Yeah. So it's dropping October 31st.
Well, no, because I need to get my whole gene. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that I will be able to watch it one way or another. And I had just finished. I finished Gangnam Beauty, and now I've decided that I love Chanu. Because of Dokyung-suk, not really, because of Cha Eun-woo. Sorry, I don't know you, but we'll watch his next thing. And then, still 17, or 30 with 17, I watched, and An-hyo-sop was, like, the second male lead, but it was, like, a really tragic, sad thing, because his character was, like, 18 or 19, and he was in love with the main girl, who is, like, 30. So I was like, this is clearly not, like, why are we even doing this? And it was so sad for him when he realized that his uncle was...
angry mom.
Huh?
It's like, angry mom.
Yeah, I guess it is. But yeah, so I was
Angry mom was Choi Woo, and she goes back to high school to, like, her daughter is getting bullied or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's something shady going on at the high school, so she goes undercover as a high school student to, like, unearth it. And that's where Jisoo from
Strong Woman
Wonsoon got his start, because he is the high school student that falls in love with her.
Oh, like, sad.
40-something. But only, like, she actually is... like, she looks like she could almost be a high school student.
Right.
Because she's just that ethereally gorgeous. But, like, yeah. And everybody loved him in that because they were, like, just his pain. And I paid attention to it because Ji Hyun-woo from Queen Eunhyun's Man was in it. And I wanted him to date her.
Aww.
But he didn't.
Sad. Sad times.
And so, like, I will not watch this show. So.
But, yeah, I really loved him in Still 17. I thought he was adorable, and I was just saying, I was like, I really want him to do a high school romance and get the girl so I can just watch that and be happy for him. So now he's doing this, in which he's...
Top Management?
Yeah, it's called Top Management, and they're, like, an idol group. They're, like, a new idol group that just debuted, which is why YouTube posted a video, their debut video, that you can watch on YouTube.
Is he, like, the lead? Like, will he get the girl in this one?
I have no idea who the lead is. But I don't know that there is a girl for them to get, because they are an idol group. Not that, obviously, there are dramas where idol groups, you know, the guy gets the girl, but I don't know who the girl would be, because the main girl, So-eun-su, is their manager, which would be weird, I feel, if she got with one of them.
Yeah.
That would be strange to me, but I don't even know how old she is. Let me check. She's 24, so she could easily get with one of them. How is she even their manager? I don't know. Probably she'll get with one of them. But
like, manager in terms of, like, just the assistant?
Maybe. It's possible. Like, it's possible that she just, like, literally just works for the management company, and because she's a psychic, she, like, uses those powers to get them famous without actually literally being their manager.
And Eun-hyun's man is just her friend who's their manager.
That's true. Like, that's true. So it's probably gonna be something like that, in which case she'll probably get with Anu and not with poor Hyosop. So hopefully, I don't know. Maybe he'll get the girl. Maybe.
30 with 17 might be the one I watch next.
Do it! It's super cute.
Well, it's that one or the, oh, no, I might be in the mood for Adults in Love, and then I'll go back to 30 But 17.
Well, to be fair, 30 But 17 does have Adults in Love. He's not, he's not the one that gets anything.
I'm just saying I might go with Familiar Wife first.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, that was also a good one. I did enjoy Familiar Wife. As long as you can get past wanting to murder the main guy in the first two episodes. After that, it gets much better.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
All right. So in the future, we will share our forever boyfriends and girlfriends with you. Our always K-drama boyfriends and girlfriends. But for now, we will bid you adieu and come back with non-K-drama things when Valerie returns.
Well, it would probably be our next podcast would be like a New York Comic Con report.
Most likely.
Right?
We will discuss New York Comic Con next week. In the meantime, remember to follow us at With an Accent on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and of course, withanaccent.com. You can also check out the podcast at Pop A La Carte Pod on Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, type it into iTunes, Pop A La Carte. Download it, listen to it, and then leave us a review. Thank you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.